Today we're beginning a brand new series that we've entitled Joe's Story. And we're going to be spending 7 weeks this summer breaking down the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Now, the author of the book of Genesis, which is the first book in the Bible, is Moses. And he dedicated a huge chunk, the whole entire ending of Genesis, to the lifetime story of a dude named Joseph. We're going to call him Joe. And we're going to be exploring and breaking down 7 parts to Joe's story. And as we do, as we look at Joe's story, here's what we're going to discover: that God was at work at every part and every turn of his life. And if God is at work, and Moses is showing us that God is at work at every part, every turn, what happens in the story, we can learn how God can take part in every, that he can have a plan and a purpose to every part and every turn, and that he's there in our lives as we are experiencing our story. You know, it all starts off with a dream. And today we're going to be looking at this. We're going to be asking, why does God involve dreams as a part of our story? But if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of my message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin. And inside your bulletin, there is a handout where you can follow along with notes to today's message. There's going to be some fill-in-the-blanks, some scripture references. And we encourage you to not just use them to follow along with the message, or more importantly, to know when I'm finally going to be done, but actually to take them and use them this next week. Reread over them. Find the passage in the Bible. Find out for yourself. Just don't rely on what I'm saying, but look to see what God's saying to you through his holy word. So we're turning today to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to be reading out the New Living Translation. You can be using your paper Bible or using the Bible app on your phone. And let me set the story up for you. We're talking about a guy named Joseph, or we're calling him Joe. And at this point in the story, he's 17 years old. He is the 11th child of 12 sons of Jacob. And he is like the baby of the family, but almost. You get that? Kind of almost. So he's treated kind of like the baby of the family, but he's not the real, real baby of the family. There's one brother whose name is Ben, who's younger than him, but he's special. And his brothers are a lot older than him. But Joseph has been growing up, and he's been treated special. You know how babies are. How many of you, you're not the baby of your family? You're not the baby of your family. Of you that are raising your hand, how many would raise it higher to say babies get all the attention, all the special stuff? They're treated special, yeah. Okay, put your hand down. How many of you are the baby of your family? And you would say, yeah, that's true. Yeah, there you go. I'm married to one of those. And, yeah, it's real evident. Yeah. Well, she was spoiled, and now I spoil her. So, there we go. Saved that one. But we got Joe, who's the youngest in his family. He's treated special. And we're picking this up when he's 17 years old, starting in verse 5 of chapter 37. It says this: one night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Let's pray. God, we ask that in the next few moments as we unpack your word for us today, that you would speak to us, that you would speak to us on a profound way that speaks to both our heart and to our minds. Challenge us and change us. Be with us today. In Jesus' name we all said. I found out something this week that totally shocked me. I mean, like, my jaw was on the ground. And here's what I found out: that the very first Toy Story movie came out in 1995. I did not realize it's been that long since Toy Story has been a part of our lives and a part of our culture and really a part of our story. And there's been 3 installments so far, and the 4th one's coming up. And when you start thinking about just how old that is, we got the perfect example this morning. Oh, man, you ready for this? Abby, who was leading worship for us, she was born in 95. Oh, man. Okay, thanks for that, Abby. We don't feel old at all. But if you can remember the very first Toy Story movie, it starts off with every toy knowing their place and their value in relation to their kid, Andy. And they had everything down to a science. They all knew what they were supposed to do, and then it was a birthday, and a new toy was introduced, and everyone freaked out, like, what's going to happen? And this new toy was a special toy, one that we know and love as Buzz Lightyear. And Buzz Lightyear had a problem that he didn't realize he was a toy. He had a different outlook on life. He had seen something different. He didn't look at the finite details of that I'm plastic and I'm not really shooting a laser and I really can't fly. He believed he could do all those things because in his mind, he saw something different. He saw that he was on a mission. He was on a quest, that he had a purpose to what he was doing. You know, in some ways, we could say that Buzz was a dreamer. And when it comes to dreamers, dreamers have a different outlook. Dreamers change the world, and sometimes we look up to dreamers, and sometimes we don't like them very much. We say, wow, you know, if they could just get a real job, right? But you know what? I think when it comes to dreamers, sometimes if we are honest enough, we might secretly admire dreamers that somehow can look above what they're actually seeing around them and see something more, see something else, see something different. Let me ask you a question. You know, growing up, we always ask kids questions. What do you want to be when you grow up, right? And there you get insight into kids' dreams. And so I'm just going to ask you a question. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand if this was something that when you were young, you wanted to be when you grew up. How many of you wanted to be a fireman when you grew up, when you were a kid? No one. Wow. Policeman? Astronaut? Okay, some people. Okay, you're going to have to throw out some suggestions to me. Someone yell out something. Teacher, okay, who wanted to be a teacher? Okay, someone else. Doctor, who wanted to be a doctor? Okay. A nurse, who wanted to be a nurse? Okay, more hands there. Something else? Oh, I heard like 4 at the same time. I didn't hear it. Say it again. Hairstylist, who wanted to be a hairstylist? Okay. You know, a mom, who wants to be a mom? Hopefully no guys raised their hand. Okay. I should put my hand down. Okay. You know, whatever it was, we had a dream when we were little that we could be anything, that we could do anything, and we thought about that for quite a bit of our childhood. Now, how many of you actually became what you dreamt of being as a kid? A few of you. But not a lot of you. You know, when it comes to dreams, when it comes to thinking about the future, the older we get, the more jaded we get about dreams. It's easy to see that when a dream gets disrupted or that it never comes to pass, it makes us hesitant to even dream again, to even consider dreaming. You know, it's like we're faced with the reality that we're not a space ranger in outer space, but we're really just a plastic toy that's just blasting a light. And we say, hey, what's the point of dreaming? And so we're asking the question today, why does God give us dreams? Now, I found out also recently that my wife doesn't dream. And I'm really surprised at this because I have dreams all the time, and I have vivid dreams when I sleep at night, and I can remember them when I wake up, but I didn't realize that not everyone's like that. And my wife, when she sleeps, she doesn't dream. Well, I got some insight into this recently because there happens to be a reason she doesn't dream. She doesn't dream because she leaves the TV on all night. And when the TV has background noise going on all night, it clouds her thinking or shuts off her thinking and she doesn't dream. But the other night, I did something I probably should never have done. See, because I've just gotten used to the TV just being on, and this is how we've operated for 21 years. But I thought, wow, I came to bed, and she was already asleep, and I turned the TV off. Yeah, and I slept like a baby. It was awesome. And the next morning, my wife says, I slept horrible. I kept on waking up, and I had these dreams, and I thought I was in a living nightmare. And I'm like, why? She's like, you turned the TV off, didn't you? I'm like, who, me? No. She's like, you did. I told you. See, I just thought she just had it wired in her brain. She doesn't dream, but really, she doesn't want to dream. But we dream. And when we're talking about dreams in this context and what we're dealing with, we're not talking about the dreams that just happen because of TV noise in the background or nightmares we may have or things we're afraid of. I'm not talking about dreams that come as a result of eating some bad pizza the night before. We're talking today about dreams that come from God. Dreams that God plants in us. He gives us a dream for something. That's the kind of dreams we're talking about. When we look at Joe's story, looking at where he sits in the lineup, that even though he is the baby-ish of the family, 11 out of 12, in the grand scheme of things, he's not going to inherit anything. He's not going to be in charge of anything. He's not going to have a lot. He's pretty insignificant. And so it actually is significant that God's giving him a dream in this story in chapter 37. God gave him a dream of him with his brothers working out in the field, they're bundling, gathering grain, and then all of a sudden his grain comes alive. I don't know about you, but that kind of sounds like a nightmare. I don't know. All of a sudden you're in there. I mean, I could just picture like one of those Mater type dreams from Cars, where everything comes alive and everything. But that's my mind, my imagination. But we're talking about what Joe was seeing. Joe was seeing his stalk of grain standing up on end. And all this brother's stalks of grain, so that means they were working the field, but they only did one stalk each, bound up, all moving in a circle around his stalk. His is standing up, and theirs is going down low. What was this a dream depicting? This was a dream depicting that Joe was going to be more important than his brothers. That they were, maybe if we're taking a figurative, they were literally going to bow down to the little one. Now, Joe was excited to have a dream. He was excited to have a dream. And so his thing, as soon as he woke up, he's like, wow, that was an amazing dream. And I tell you, you know what? When you get a dream from God, it is something that you just can't contain. It's like, wow, like it's like it bubbles up, but it's like a big deal. And you're like, wow, I saw something. It was amazing. And he just had to tell somebody. And of course, he tells his brothers, which you could just guess. He didn't have to read the rest of those scriptures to know exactly what happened next, right? His brother's like, nah, it's not going to work. We're not going to bow down to you. I don't know what you were drinking or smoking or whatever before you were sleeping. But here's the deal. God was giving him this dream. And dreams show that we are a part of a bigger picture. When God gives us a dream, it shows that we're part of a bigger picture. That in our own minds, we just consider where we are at this moment in time, even in this moment in time in history. That we see where we sit in our family, what our relationships are, where we stand financially, where we stand demographically, where we live, where we don't live, what we have, what we don't have. And we look at ourselves and say, this is me. Don't really do much, have much. And yet, God wants to show you a dream that says, you know what, there's more to you than what you know. There's more about you than what you know. And there's more that's going to happen with you than what you know. And so when God gives us a dream, one of his things is to show us that there is a bigger picture of what is going on. When he gives us a dream, he's saying that you're not insignificant. And when he was giving a dream to Joe, he didn't give Joe just one dream. But right after the scripture we read in verse 8, he goes on that there's another dream that takes place. And here's what happens in this dream. Joe obviously goes to sleep. He's dreaming. And in this dream, he's up in the sky. And he's seeing stars. And he's seeing the moon. And he's seeing the sun. And he's looking at the sun, the moon, the stars. And this is kind of, this. I'm thinking this is an animated dream, okay? Because it's hard to get all those in the same picture. Because he's counting the sun, the moon, and 11 stars. And all of them bow down to him. Whoa. Okay. Does that sound like a similar theme to the first dream? I mean, I'm thinking that if he has two dreams that are very similar, and he believes the first dream came from God, and he believes the second dream came from God, could it be that God is confirming the dream that he gave him and saying, hey, this is from me. I'm showing you a bigger picture of what's going on. And what does Joe do? He gets up. He's all excited. He's going to tell his brothers. Say, guys, I had another dream. It's so amazing. There was 11 stars, and there was a sun, and there was a moon, and they all bowed down to me. And they're like, dude, no way. It ain't happening. You got to stop doing this. He even went and told his dad. He said, Dad, I had this dream. There was the sun, the moon, 11 stars, and they all bowed down to me. And his dad was like, no, dude. You're saying in your dream your brother's going to bow to it, and your mom and I, we're going to bow down to you? I don't think so. And the Bible describes that his brothers, who had already had a dislike for the youngest one, thinking it's unfair, the special treatment he got, they're really not liking him now. Because here's Joe. He's excited about what God's planting in his spirit, these dreams that God's giving him. He's going around and saying, hey, look, I'm special. Even more, God's showing me some things, and I'm going to be like a king or something. They hate him. But God gave Joe a second dream, and why does this matter? Because God was telling Joe something. See, dreams reveal that God has a plan and a purpose for us. See, dreams from God are about God's purpose for you. That there is a reason why you exist. There's a reason for where you are at. There's a reason for what you know and what you have done. And there is something ahead for you. There is a plan. There's a plan and there's a purpose. And we can say that dreams are about God's purpose for you, but really, let me just twist that around just slightly for you. Because really, dreams are showing us how we fit into God's bigger purpose and a plan that involves you. You see, it's important that we make that distinction because it's not about us. Let me just give you a side secret, something you can write in the margins here when it comes to God's dreams. When God gives dreams, it usually has a point involving salvation at some level. Okay? That God's purposes and God's plan ultimately are in people finding God in some way, somehow, some way. Joe didn't recognize it at the moment because God was only giving him a glimpse, saying there is a bigger plan and you do have a purpose. But what he does not know yet is that in the end of the story, and this is foreshadowing, that in the end, there's a purpose that involves salvation. Now, I want to take a time out from talking about dreams because I think there's something really important, a caution. If I could put a big caution sign up in the air right now, I want you to be heeding this. I want you to be reading this. I want you to be taking care of it. I want you to write notes on this. Find some more blank space on your notes because I need to talk to two groups of people here really quickly because we can really mess up when it comes to dreams. First group is people who don't have a dream. You don't have a dream. You don't think God's given you a dream, that there is no dream. It's real easy to resign ourselves to the fact that, well, maybe I'll just never have one. And so we think we're unworthy to have a dream or a purpose, or that dreams are not for me, or God can't use me, and my purpose on this planet is just to occupy and translate oxygen into carbon dioxide as the other half of the tree, you know, life cycle here, right? But don't, caution, don't. If you have not received a dream for God, don't believe that you're not dream worthy. Okay? You are dream worthy. Now, a second caution for this group. If you have not received a dream, be careful that you don't become a dream basher. Someone who bashes other people's dreams. Because when you receive a dream from God, you can't help but to share it. It inspires you. It's something that you feel like, wow, this is for real. And so you share it. But you may be sharing it with somebody who says, well, I wish I had a dream. And I don't agree with your dream, and I don't think it's going to come true. And really, we're just identifying something that's a problem myself instead of recognizing that maybe God is speaking to you, and maybe God does want to use you, and maybe that is of God. And so we bash dreams. Joe's brothers were bashing his dreams. Even his dad bashed his dreams, saying, that's not going to happen. Don't be a dream basher. The third caution has to do with a group of people. If you do have a dream that God has given you, like Joe, be careful not to become a dream boaster. That you go about dream boasting. Let me tell you about the dream I've got. God's going to use me. It's amazing, and I'm special. Look at me, and I'm amazing. Yeah, who wants to hear that, right? And we're going to have to just give Joe just a little bit of forgiveness, because the Bible tells us that he was 17 years old. If you met any 17-year-olds, which I just had one, they know everything, right? Worse, I had a 17-year-old who had experience going to national debate teams and felt like everything should be a debate. So just, I know nothing and I can't win. So there we go. That's what happens. So we're just going to give Joe just a little slack here, right? And say he was dream boasting. He was excited about what God was doing. But the Bible describes it when he was telling his brothers that he was really telling them. That it was the way that he told them that really got underneath the skin of his brothers. And so we need to be careful that when God's given you a dream, that it's not to flaunt, hey, look at me, I'm special. Or, hey, I got a dream and maybe you don't. It is not meant for that. You see, the purpose of God's dreams and God's plans is to give us a hope and to give us a future. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says this. This is God speaking. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. See, when God reveals a dream to you, it's for you. And it's designed to let you know two things, that you do have a future and there is hope. It's for you. Now, what he does not give us when he gives us a dream is a timeline. I really wish that he would consider that as an upgrade. How many of you are with me? That if he gives you a dream, he gives you a timeline, says this will come to pass at this point. I mean, Joe has no idea when they're all going to bow down to him. No idea. I mean, in his mind, the way he's always talking here, it's like tomorrow. And sometimes we feel that way. It's like, yes, God's going to do it. I know he spoke to me. I know what's going to happen. It's there. And it's going to involve me. And man, do I have hope. And I have a future. And it's amazing. And it's like another day, another week, another month, another year, another year, another year. Another year. You know what's coming, right? Another year. And we're like, did we really have that dream? You know, I thought my life was going in this direction, and it's been like doing this over here. Let me just pull you in here. The dreams God gave us, his plans, his purpose, he's revealing his purpose, he's revealing the bigger, that there is a bigger picture. And he's saying, hey, I'm giving you hope. Yeah, I'm not giving you a timeline. Your life is going to go like a roller coaster. It's not a straight path from here to there. But what can sustain you? I have a purpose. God has a plan. He has showed me. He can't take that, can't be taken away from me. I know it's in my future. I may not know when, but I know what. I know God is up to something, and it can sustain you no matter what is happening. A toy I grew up was one of these. Anybody ever have one of these? It's a ViewMaster. Yeah, these are amazing. Yeah, you get the discs. They have pictures on them. There's some sort of subject. You put it in, and you click through, right? How many had one of these growing up? Yeah, like everyone. And they still sell them. It's crazy. So basic, you know, with all the touch screens and video screens and flashy things, they still have these, ViewMasters, right? And what do I see if I put this up to my eyes and I'm holding the disc in my hand? Nothing. There's nothing in here. I'm seeing nothing. And yet, this particular disc is the Age of Dinosaurs. Woo-hoo. And I put this in, and I look in, it's like, wow, there's two dinosaurs button heads. And now I'm looking at two dinosaurs with some eggs. Now I'm looking at dinosaur with some plates on his back. And this one's dinosaurs flying in the air. Okay? I'm seeing pictures. I'm seeing something. It's a great toy, inspires your imagination, but I also think it's kind of how we approach God here. We like to say, I want to see my future. I want to know what's happening. I want to see something. And this is us by ourselves. Now, we can have some hopes and dreams. We can have some ideas of what we want to do. We can have some things in our heart, just decisions that we make. You know, we can have some big wish lists. But by ourselves, when it comes to our future, this is all we can really see. And what am I seeing right now? Nothing. See, what we need is we need to see God's disc. And he's got a disc for you, and he's got a disc for me. And each disc is preloaded with, here's what I got for you. Here's the plan. Here's the purpose. And I promise you, if you ask God, he'll show you. Say, God, I want to be on mission for you. I just don't want to exist on this planet. I don't just want to be a blip on the timeline of humanity. I want to have a purpose and reason for why I exist. God, show me what I can do for you. How can I be a part of the mission? You know what? God will insert the disc, and he'll start giving you dreams and glimpses of amazing things. And those things will give you hope in a future. And you say, there is something bigger. There is a bigger picture that I can be a part of. I can be a part of what God is doing, being a part of his mission. Remember I said a dream that comes from God somehow involves salvation, because that's the whole reason why he's interacting with us, and we're on mission together with him to help people find God. You say, Pastor, that's a very simplified view of God's dreams and everything, but really, I mean, I'm just trying to make it basic here. Where we can understand that this is something for all of us. This is not just for a select few people. This is something for all of us, that we all have a role to play. When you are a part of God's family, when you say yes to God, what you're really saying, you're saying, I'm no longer taking my life story and trying to be the main character of my life story, but I realize that I'm a character in God's bigger story. And I ask him, when I turn my life over to him, say, God, be the main character of my story. And when we realize that he is the main character and I'm just a supporting character, we realize that there's a bigger plot going on. There's a bigger purpose going on of things that are happening. And we're saying, God, just tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. Tell me where I'm supposed to be. What am I supposed to do? Where do I fit in? And when God answers that prayer, and when God gives you dreams, it's tailored for you. It's not just some random disc God pulled off the shelf, but it's tailored for you. And no matter what you face in life, no matter what is in your future, when you've seen a glimpse of what God has for you, it gives you hope. It shows you, I do have a future. You see, if you don't remember anything about today, there's one thing I do want you to remember. The main point of this thing is that God-given dreams show us that we matter to Him. You matter. This is the point of Joe in his story, is he mattered to God. He was going to play a big role that was going to impact a lot of people. And it's just as much as Joe mattered, you matter. God had plans for Joe. God had a purpose for Joe. And God has plans for you. And God has a purpose for you. And if God did these things for Joe, if God gave Joe dreams, then He can give you dreams too. He can give you plans and reveal His plan for you. He will do it for you. So my question is, at some point in your life, I recognize we're not all 17-year-old young men anymore, or young ladies. Some of us are a little more experienced. Some of us were around before Toy Story came out. Yeah. And in that time, at any point in that time, God could have already shared a dream with you. A dream where He's saying, hey, I'm giving you that glimpse. I'm putting something in your heart. I believe today is the day to re-embrace what that dream means. To recognize that it's okay if it hasn't happened yet because your life's not over yet. But to say, God, I'm in this. And I recognize You gave me that dream to give me hope and a future. To sustain me in the roller coaster of life. Knowing that there's something that's going to happen. I'm a part of the bigger picture. God has something for me. If you haven't received a dream, I've got good news for you. God's still in the business of giving out dreams and showing people who are willing. I mean, as a matter of fact, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says this, I'll pour out My Spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your old men will dream. Your young men will see visions. These words were a prophecy of what it would be like at the end. What was going to happen. And I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God has a dream for you and He has a dream for me. And I can attest even personally from the dreams that God's given me that they can sustain me. You know, when God asked me to become a pastor of a church, I told Him no. Didn't know you could tell God no, right? We see who won that argument, right? But I told Him no. And He said very clearly, I saw it and I heard it. You're going to be a pastor. And I said, no. And I said, I don't know how to be a pastor. And God's words to me next were something I need to remember. I probably need to make a sign and hang it in my office. But what God spoke to me next, part of this vision that He gave me. He said, great. Then you'll have to rely on Me. And so now, for 3 years now, I've been following this path where God is for me. And every week, every month, every day, it's like a new step. And I'm not sure it's there. And I feel the whole roller coaster thing. But I know that as I've walked this way, that God's given me pictures of what the future looks like, of what is happening, what has already happened here, what's going to happen here. God's given me dreams about it. And I hold on to those dreams and they sustain me. How? Well, you know what's funny about leading a group of people? Is that everyone has opinions. Everyone's got opinions, and it's not uncommon for the people of the church to share their opinions with the pastor of the church. And it's amazing that with the same thing, the same subject, or the same day, or the same event, or everything, that I can have someone say, wow, you inspired me, this was amazing, and changed my life, and someone say, wow, this is the awfulest thing ever. And what do you think it's like as the emotions of just being a person, just trying to follow God. And you're kind of getting slapped with this, but I hold on to the dream that I know. And it's not just from those things, but you know what? This week, there was something that happened with Shelly and I that really tested, does God have a dream for us here? And it was an opportunity to go somewhere else. That if we would have taken a step towards it, probably would be a sure thing. And we took a step back and we asked ourselves, what's God's dream for us? What has he already shown us? And when we looked at the dreams, we said, those things haven't happened yet. We're not done. We're supposed to be right where we're at. And it sustains us. And the dreams that God gives you can sustain you. But I feel for you today, if one, you've had a dream and you've let it go, you've been disappointed. You've thought maybe because it hasn't happened, maybe I just, you know, it was some bad pizza or something. Or two, you're someone who say, wow, Pastor, that sounds cool to have dreams like this and like Joe's story, but I'm not sure dreams are a part of my story. I'm here to tell you, God has a dream for each of us because we're all part of the big picture. Today is the day. Today is the day to rekindle dreams, to make dreams part of our story as we're part of God's bigger story. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now and to bow your heads. It's time for us to talk to God, just a few moments. Wherever you're at on the spectrum of dreams, this is your time, this is your moment. Before we're done today, it's your time to talk to God, to say, hey, God, I felt like I haven't had a dream. Can you show me something? I want to be a part. I want to know my place in the bigger picture. Will you show me something? Will you give me a passion for something? Will you speak to me? Will you show me something? Will you show me a dream like Pastor's talking about? Or maybe you're one today that you would say, I know God's given me a dream already, but I've forgotten about it. I've let go of it. I thought maybe it really wasn't supposed to happen. You kind of put it back up on the shelf. I believe God wants you to know today is the time to pick it back up. That dream was not given to you by accident. If it has not happened yet, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. So I want you to talk to God right now. You pray. Tell him where you're at. Say, God, I want a dream. I want to know my place. Show me. God, I want to pick up that dream off the shelf. Help me. God, help me to be a part of your bigger picture, your bigger plan, your bigger purpose. Help me. God, all over this room right now, there are people talking to you. Talking to you about dreams. And God, as you're revealing in the story of Joe, you're saying that dreams are part of our story too. They're part of your story, revealing the bigger story. That we do have a purpose and there is a plan for us, God, and you want to give us hope and you want to give us a future. And God, you said if there's something that we are lacking or something that we need, we should just ask. So God, there are many in this room who are asking you right now, God, show me. God, help me. Lord, may today be today that dreams are revealed and dreams are restored. Let it change our perspective. Let it change our outlook on life. Let it change our perspective about what happens in life. Lord, let it give us direction and guidance about what's where we're going in life, God. Let us always be mindful of the bigger picture, realizing your dreams ultimately lead our salvation story. Lord, we love you and thank you. We're so thankful that you would consider us, that we're not insignificant. that there is a reason we're here, that there is a purpose and a plan that you have for us. We seek that today. And while people are still talking to God today, I want to speak to those who are here today who we talked about earlier, that you may have come today and you're missing hope, and you don't really have any focus to life, and you're saying there's got to be something more than what I already know. And really, maybe you're identifying with what I said, in that you're trying to live your life with yourself as the main character. Well, today's the day where you can step aside and say, you know, my life is not my own, but I'm giving it to you, God. I recognize that you're the main character, and that I need to be on mission with you. God, I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to seek your dreams and seek your plan and your purpose. And today, that can be you. Today can be the beginning of a new journey with God, where you turn it over to him. Let me pray for you. Let me know that that's you. If you'll just slip your hand right now, let me know. Slip it up into the air. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to invite you to pray, repeating after me, and we're all going to pray together. No one prays alone here. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I want you in charge of my life. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. Help me, God, to follow you with everything I am. In Jesus' name, amen.